Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
Once I get it in my imagination, once it becomes hope, I can guarantee you faith is going to bring physical manifestation to that hope.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast. This is now the middle of my second week of teaching on the power of imagination. I got a brand new book out on this. First time we've ever offered this, and I've got CDs and DVDs on it. And as I said, this is, you know, the middle of my second week, so I've already covered a lot of material. I haven't got time to go back over it. But imagination is a powerful, powerful force. It's actually where you conceive your miracles. And if you don't use your imagination in a positive way, then it just automatically starts working against you. There are things, I read the scripture yesterday, casting down high imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. An imagination just left to itself that isn't on purpose, deliberately, strategically molded by the Word of God is going to work against you. It will form negative images on the inside of you that will be like limiters, governors, that limit what God can do in you. And I started, 10 days ago sharing with you that in 2002, God told me I was limiting Him by my small thinking. And specifically, He was talking about I wasn't allowing myself to see God's will come into pass in me. I knew God wanted me to have a worldwide ministry and to be doing things, but I just wouldn't go there in my imagination for multiple reasons, and I had to change the way I thought. And when I did, it has revolutionized. I mean, totally revolutionized not only my life and my ministry, but it has enabled us to touch millions, billions of people that we couldn't have before. I can testify personally that this is life-changing. So I've been sharing a lot of things. Again, please go to our website, awmi.net. If you haven't seen these programs, I promise you this would be a deal changer if you could get hold of this. I've been sharing the last few days that the Scripture talks about meditating in the Word day and night. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2 talks about His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. That goes along with Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So meditation is important. What is meditation? Well, according to Psalms chapter 2, verse 1, it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The exact word that was translated meditate in Psalms 1:2 was translated imagine in Psalms 2:1. So part of meditation is imagining. You have to take the Word of God and let it paint pictures on the inside of it. And this takes time. I believe that if you do this on a regular basis, you can get to where you do it quicker. But when you first start this, if your imagination has not been disciplined, it's like a muscle or something. If it hasn't been used, it may take you a while to build it up. But once you do build it up, well, then you can lift much greater weights than a person that hasn't been lifting weights and stuff like this. Once you start using your imagination, it develops and you can get to where you can focus, and quickly you can begin to start seeing things in your imagination. But when you first start, it may be hard. It may be hard for you to direct your thoughts. Again, I've used this example a bunch, but it's something that most people can relate to. But if the doctor tells you that you got an incurable disease and you're going to die, most people just, their imagination just immediately goes towards failure. They see themselves sick. They see themselves dying. They imagine what their funeral is going to be like, what it's going to be like for the people that love them without them around, and you start imagining those things. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. There's power in your imagination. But you can redirect that, and you can force yourself to start seeing yourself well instead of sick. Start seeing yourself continuing to operate in health instead of things getting bad. And it just takes some effort, but we used the verses yesterday out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, where it says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You do have the power to control your imagination, and you're cast down those high imaginations and bring every thought into line with what the Word of God says. Let me use another passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And did you know that the word that was translated mind right here is the Hebrew word yetzer, Y-E-T-S-E-R. And it's a word that I've started with 10 days ago from Psalms 103, verse 14, where it says, "He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." That word frame there is the exact same word that was translated mind here. And it was also translated imagination or imaginations five different times in the Old Testament. So you could say it this way, that the Lord will keep you in perfect peace when your imagination is stayed upon God. Now that's important. There's a lot of people that will sit there and they can even be thinking about Scripture. I could give you, I'm not going to turn over there, I'll just refer to it, but in Luke chapter 24 is where the two disciples were walking towards the village of Emmaus, and it was on the resurrection day. And they had heard the report from the women who had seen the angels, and Mary Magdalene had actually seen Jesus. They reported that Jesus was raised from the dead. But these men, these two disciples of the Lord, these weren't people that didn't know the Lord. They were people who were disciples. They had known the Lord, but it was just hard for them to believe that He was raised from the dead. And Jesus came and joined Himself to them and walked with them for 7 miles, approximately 2 hours, and they didn't even recognize who He was. And you know why? It says, Jesus said to them, He says, "What kind of communications are these as you walk and are sad?" They were talking about Jesus, but they were talking about Him in terms of unbelief. How could this be? We saw Him crucified. We helped bury Him. We put the stone over the tomb. How could He be alive? They were talking about godly things, but they were talking about it in an unbelieving, ungodly way. And there's a lot of Christians that they maybe read the Bible, but they read it from a negative standpoint, not understanding that under the new covenant, all of the curses of the Old Testament have been removed from us, that Christ became a curse so that we could be made the righteousness of God. And they may be thinking about it, but they aren't thinking about it in the proper way. And the Word sometimes even paints a negative imagination, people seeing the wrath of God coming on them. You've got to get into the Word of God, and you've got to renew yourself. And so let me get back to this verse, that if you don't have perfect peace, it's because your mind or your imagination isn't stayed upon God. You could be religious. You could be thinking about godly things, but thinking about it in an ungodly way. But if your mind is truly stayed upon God, if your imagination is stayed upon God, where you are receiving His love, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And if you picture that, if you picture that there is no wrath in God for His children, that He's not mad at you, He's not even in a bad mood, that all of the judgment of God came upon Jesus. And if you think about it and let that paint a picture, did you know what? It will keep you in perfect peace. So let me say it this way, that if you don't have perfect peace, it's because your imagination, your mind, your imagination is not stayed upon God, period. There's a lot of people that would disagree with that and say, "Oh, no, that's not true for me. I mean, I love God. I'm constantly thinking about God, and yet I'm depressed, I'm discouraged, I'm fearful." There are people that, you know, concerning our nation, this broadcast goes all around the world, but in the United States, man, there have been some terrible things. They're trying to legalize, well, they have legalized homosexual marriage. They're trying to push transgenderism down our throat. They're trying to abort babies even after they've been born. saying that they have a right to let them die. And people see this thing. And you know what? If you aren't careful, you will let your imagination just think, where are we going? What's it going to be like? And you will see gloom and doom. But the Scripture says, Jesus said this 2,000 years ago in Matthew chapter 24. He says, when you see all of these things come to pass, then lift up your eyes and rejoice because your redemption draws nigh. And if you took Matthew 24 in its context, you would find out that it's saying that there's going to be earthquakes and famines and wars and pestilence and all of these things, but this is a sign of the end times. Instead of looking at the negative things that are happening and foreseeing just nothing but total failure and gloom and doom, you could say, man, the coming of the Lord is getting close. And you could imagine positive things. You could turn it around and use it in a positive way. If your mind is not stayed upon the Lord, if your imagination isn't stayed upon the Lord, that's the reason that you don't have peace. I believe that with all of my heart. I've had a lot of negative things happen. I've had my son die, and I remember I gave this testimony last week. I won't go through the whole thing, but when my son died, I began to start having negative emotions the same as anybody else would. I started feeling grief and sorrow and confusion. God, how did this happen? And on, but you know what? I knew that I have weapons to bring every thought into captivity and under obedience. I knew that I could control my emotions. I didn't have to let them control me. And so I started rejoicing, and I started thinking on the positive things, and I started saying, Father, I just thank you that you aren't the one that killed my son. And because I did that, I was able to cast off, to deflect all of the depression and the grief and the sorrow that would have come. And because of that, my son was raised from the dead after being dead for over 4 hours. And I tell you, there is a direct connection here. There are some of you watching this that think, well, I can't help it. This negative thing is happening. This person died. I just went into a tailspin. That's not true. You don't have to be that way. First of all, if the person was a believer, well, then they are better off than they've ever been. That's what the Word says. Now, that may not be what it looks like. That may not be what your unbelieving friends or even your believing unbelieving friends are saying. But that is true according to the Word of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 8. And if the person was born again, then you got no reason to be devastated by this. That person is having the time of their life. You can rejoice and praise God. Maybe you will miss them, but boy, they aren't missing you. Man, they are awesome. They are complete for the first time in their whole life. And even if they didn't know the Lord, you can rest assured that God gave them every opportunity to accept Him. God is more merciful than you ever thought about. And even if they go to hell, I can guarantee you, it ought to provide you with the motivation to start getting out and telling other people so that they won't go to hell. You know, we just had Todd White with us, and he gave one of the strongest testimonies I've ever heard in my life. It was awesome. And one of the things that made him the evangelist that he was his very best friend died, and Todd had talked to him about the Lord, but it was when he wasn't living for the Lord himself, and he didn't really give him a strong godly testimony, and because of it, it motivated Todd to become the evangelist that he is. Todd could talk to a fence post about the Lord. Man, he'll just witness to anybody and everybody. He turned that thing around and used it for something positive. It doesn't matter what's happening to you, you can rejoice. There is a positive thing. Somebody says, but the doctor says I'm going to die. What's positive about that? Well, you're going to live forever in heaven. You've got a mansion prepared for you. It only took 6 days for the Lord to form the heavens and the earth. He's been working on your mansion for 2,000 years. Imagine what that's going to be like. You know, we sing, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And then the doctor tells you you're going and you start crying. Something wrong with this picture. You know what? You could rejoice. I believe that God wants you well and that God wants to heal you. And I'm going to continue to talk about hope and how you can do that. But even if you didn't see your healing come in this life, you're going to live forever in a mansion in eternity, and you shouldn't be just bawling and squalling and crying. I mean, if you win and get healed, you win. If you lose and die and go to heaven, you win. You can't lose for winning. See, that's if your mind is stayed on what the Lord has said. If you are thinking about things properly, and again, this word for mind here is the exact same word that was translated imagination. You know, if the doctor tells you you're going to die, instead of seeing your funeral, why don't you think about, man, what's it going to be like when I finally enter into heaven and I see the Lord? You know, I read this book many, many, many years ago called Intramurals. It's been republished under My Dream of Heaven by, I think her name is Ruth Springer. I forget exactly. But anyway, it was about a woman in the 1800s who died and went to heaven. And in her experience, she spent 3 years in heaven. It was more like 3 minutes or 3 hours down here that she was dead. But when she came back to life, she wrote this book about what she experienced. And I can't say that all of it's accurate. She didn't claim that all of it was accurate. She just told people, this is what I experienced after she died and when she went to heaven. And she described it, and I read that book, and I tell you what, it was one of the most powerful things I've ever read. And I literally, for about a month's period of time, had to use my faith to stay alive on this earth because I wanted to go to heaven so badly. When we get to heaven and see how awesome it is, I think some of us are going to wonder why we fought so hard to stay here on this earth. Now again, I'm not talking about a death wish. We've got a job to do, and so it's just like Paul said, I have a desire to depart and to be with the Lord, but it's needful for you, it's more needful for you that I stay here. And so for that reason, I'm going to stay here. I've got a purpose. I've got something that God wants me to do here. I'm not talking about that I'm not resisting death because it's not my time to go. But I am saying that if you were to think this way, instead of picturing your funeral, picture your entrance into heaven, and you'd actually get to a place where you had to use your faith to stay here because you wanted to go so much, just like the Apostle Paul said. Instead of seeing yourself poor and never having anything, you ought to see yourself that my God supplies all of my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards me so that I always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Why don't you picture that? But see, there's some people that can read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and yet they still see themselves poor. That's the image that they have. That's the expectation that they have. They don't ever expect to get out of the situation that they're in. See, that's not meditating in the Word. That's not keeping your mind stayed upon God. That's allowing your mind to follow the way that other people are living or other people have said about you, or, you know, there's a downturn in the economy, there's a recession, and so therefore you think that everybody's got to go through recession. You know, the Lord spoke to me in 2009, and that's when the Lord told me that. Well, He told me in 2002 I was thinking too small, but He's told me that many times since then. And one of those was in 2009. We were having to deal with what are we going to do with our Bible college. We had totally outgrown our facility down in Colorado Springs, and were we going to break the first, second, and third year into three different locations and have them meet in different places? Were we going to go buy a place? Was it going to be in Woodland Park or Colorado Springs? We were having to make a lot of decisions. And during that time, I went to Oral Roberts' home, and I was with a group of about 15 or 20 other ministers. And anyway, we just heard him speak, and he was talking to us. This is just a few months before he died. And I tell you what, that guy was a visionary. And I don't agree with everything he did, but you know what? It's like somebody that's traveling on a highway in front of you. They don't have to be your best bud. You don't have to agree with everything, but if they've gone down that road before you, you could call them and say, is there a filling station ahead? Is there a restaurant that we could eat at? Do you recommend a place? You don't have to be 100% in agreement, but if they've been down that road before you, they've got information that you don't have and you can benefit from it. So anyway, I was in his home and he was just speaking about things, and I tell you what, it stirred something on the inside of me. And when I left that place, man, God told me you're dreaming too small again. You need to start thinking bigger. We were thinking about it. What do we do with the Bible college? And that's when he told me that I needed to keep the Bible college together. I needed to build a campus, build our own buildings. And build, I mean a first class, a world-class Bible college campus. And this was in 2009 during the quote-unquote Great Recession. And while other ministries were cutting back and people were just, decreasing and stuff, is when God told me to increase. And in 6 years, we built $75 million worth of buildings debt-free in a time when everybody else was cutting back and they were talking about how bad everything was. And you know why? Because I had a word from God, and I took that word, I focused on it, my imagination, I began to see all of these buildings. And you know what? It's come to pass just exactly the way I saw it. I'm not saying that to pat me on the back. I'm saying it to verify that the word works. It worked for me. It'll work for you. I'm telling you that there are some of you that you know God has bigger plans for you than what you're experiencing. You may even know some of the details. You may know a business that he wants you to start, or how he wants you to go out and minister, or to, you know, there could be a lot of different things. You have some direction from God, but you aren't seeing it come to pass because you haven't sat down and meditated, used your imagination to see it coming to pass. I do this just constantly. Every time God tells me something, I will sit there and meditate on it and think about, all right, God, here's where you want me to go. How do I get there? And I start imagining how to do it. And as I think of some things, it'll reach like a dead end. And I'll think, well, that's not it. That's certainly not it. And I'll just keep thinking of different ways. God, how do you want me to do this? And then all of a sudden, I'll see a breakthrough that I can see, yes, that will get me directly to where you want me to go. This is how you want me to do it. And so I head in that direction. And I'm telling you, it's working for me. Your imagination is where you conceive things. It's your spiritual womb. It's powerful. And you've got to start using it if you want to reach the right destination, the destination that God has for you. Man, that's powerful. You know, I'm feeling in my heart right now that God is really speaking to some of you, and you're just saying, man, I'm stirred up. What do I do? What's the next step? I want you to call that number that you see on your screen. We've got hundreds of people answering our phones, and these people there, they've been through this. They can pray with you. They will help you. They are some of the most godly people, and they've heard this teaching. They know exactly what I'm talking about. I believe that they could be a real help to you. So not only will they give you the materials that we're offering, I've got this brand new book on the power of imagination, and I've also got DVDs and CDs, but they can pray with you. And I'm telling you, there's some of you right now that you just need to agree with somebody and have them seal the deal. And so that number on your screen are some great people. I encourage you to please call. And when you call, don't forget to request the materials. We'll have our announcer give you all of the details about the price, but we're just encouraging you to get the materials. You can actually go to my website and you can download these teachings free of charge if you don't have the money for it. You just need these materials. So please listen to our announcer as he gives you the information. Please call or write and request for that. And also ask someone to just agree with you in prayer that your imagination starts working properly. Okay, today is our final construction update on the parking garage. So we're now on the second level of our parking garage. This is the stairwell right here. Right over there on the other side of the blue light is a elevator that services all five levels. Over here is the main entrance from the parking garage. It goes straight in to our auditorium. We've got another entrance down here. And then up on the third and a half level, we have another entrance. We are now using all of this parking garage. So this is a praise the Lord and praise God. We finally made it. So prior to yesterday and our temporary certificate of occupancy, we were only able to use the southern half of this parking garage all the way up. But as of yesterday, they've now opened this up. So this is the very first time that we've had people parking over here. This is during the lunch break in the afternoon during the Healing Is Here conference, so we don't have it completely full, but it was full just a little while ago. Concerning the finances, we're trying to get this paid off as quickly as we can. So what we're going to do, either right here on this wall or possibly inside, I'm going to have a wall where I put up the 1,000 Club members, and we are asking 23,000 people to give a $1,000 gift, either a one-time gift or to give $100 a month for 10 months, and I'm believing to get this thing paid off. So thank you for being a part of this. God bless you, and I believe we will start on these other construction things quickly. Amen.
Learn how to put your imagination to work for you when you get Andrew's brand new book titled, The Power of Imagination. This book is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This new series on the power of imagination is also available as a CD or DVD album recorded live from a Gospel Truth seminar or in a DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us.
I'd really like to encourage you to get these products. This is my brand new book on the power of imagination. And I tell you, I've mentioned this in a number of different teachings, but this is the first time I've just taught specifically on imagination. This is a deal changer. It's a game changer. And it would really bless you. We also have DVDs. This was taken from a live session. And then I have DVDs that were taken from our television program. And then we have CDs that were taken from one of my meetings. So we've got a number of different ways of you taking advantage of this. But I promise you, this teaching is something that not very many, I've never heard anybody else teach on this. And I believe it would really change your life. It has totally revolutionized my life. So please listen to our announcer and call and receive these materials.
These valuable resources are also available in the Power of Imagination package. This package includes Andrew's brand new book, as well as your choice of the CD or the As Seen on TV DVD album. The Power of Imagination package has a catalog value of $50, but you can get it today for a gift of only $35. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The individual topic highlighted on today's broadcast is available as an audio CD for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give because there's a blessing in giving. But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide today's teaching free of charge. This is the last day we'll be offering this teaching, so be sure to respond today. You can order resources or become a Grace Partner through our website at awmi.net or call our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time at 719-635-1111.